Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Nikah qade masno, dukhe dil ka marham. Nikah qade masno, dukhe dil ka marham. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye shaadi hai beshak mohabbat ka zina. Ye shaadi hai beshak mohabbat ka zina. Baharon ki aamad saba ka tarannum. Baharon ki aamad saba ka tarannum. Nikah aqde masno dukhe dil ka marham. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye shaadi ki taqreeb sabko mubarak. Ye shaadi ki taqreeb sabko mubarak.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Tuesday morning on this beautiful, mashallah, on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved engineer, none other than Brother Boneface, who will be with us from now till 12-ish, inshallah. All our beloved, wonderful listeners, of course, Sirius FM, and of course, Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you into the program, inshallah. 084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +2 784-786-3132. April the 26th of 2022, of Wednesday, of Tuesday, sorry, on this beautiful, mashallah, morning, the 24th of Ramadan, 1443. Let's welcome our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a message, Ustaz, says that from whom must parda be kept? Are there any exceptions?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we should know whom we cannot marry. So that is in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse number 23. So there Almighty Allah states, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ. So your mother, and mother means mother, grandmother, like that. And then your daughters and your sisters, all three types, full sister, half sister from the mother's side and half sister from the father's side, so all of them. Then your aunties, remember that, your father's sister, your mother's sister, your nieces, so your brother's daughter, your sister's daughter. وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمْ اللَّاتِ أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ. And then the lady who breastfed you, so she, you are a mahram to her, so there's no parda there and no hijab there. Then وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَ. That same lady that breastfed you, she breastfed another female. So you and that female, whether at the same time or different times, you all become foster brother, foster sister, like that. وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِ فِي حُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِ دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ. And then remember that your stepdaughter, for example, you marry a lady, and she was married before. And once you consummate the marriage with her, and she has a daughter, so you become the mahram for her daughter, your stepdaughter, after consummating the marriage with her mother. And then remember that Almighty Allah teaches us that even, remember, two sisters, you can't get it married one time, but you must be very careful that your wife's sister and you are strangers to one another. Their parda is compulsory. And where we make mistakes is this: the lady, she's married, and her husband's brother, so their people are very, very lax on that. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamu al-maut, how you fear death, you must fear the brother-in-law. Authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So like that, another place where we are lax, I give you, in our society. So my father has a brother, right? And my father's brother is married. So my father's brother is my chacha, my kaka, my aam, so in Arabic, paternal uncle. So my paternal uncle's wife, kaki, chachi, myself and my chachi, myself and my kaki, remember, we are strangers to one another. But you see, many of us, we shake hands, we do this, we do that. That is not permissible. Likewise, my mother's brother, so my mamaji, my mamu, so you must remember, his wife, so my mami, so my mother's brother, so the my mother's brother's wife. So she and myself, we are strangers to one another. But what we do, we shake hands, we do everything. So these are places we must be very careful about. Remember that you can't have physical contact with them. It's not permissible.
Let's go to overseas, Ustad. Mufti Sahib, I can understand when the hadith says that someone gets nothing as a reward from his roza except hunger and thirst. But please explain to me when it says that someone gets nothing from staying awake except sleeplessness, Ustad.
Remember that people read Taraweeh Salat and you come home late and so forth and so on, but that person there, he is watching movies at night, he is making ghibat at night, he is busy with haram activities, pornography and chat line and what have you, he's alone, so he gets up to mischief. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدْ. So night time, people do a lot of upside down things. So therefore, that people there, it refers to them. So Ramadan means to burn the sins. تَحْرِيقُ الذُّنُوب. So we must stay away from the haram, daytime and night time.
0847863132. Somebody says, my husband texted me one talaq ubayin. Then later on, he sent me divorce papers of three divorces. I want to know, Mufti Sahib, how many divorces have taken place, and can I remarry my ex-husband, Ustad?
Remember, all three talaqs are valid, and now you and your husband cannot reconcile. It's finished now. No sense looking for loopholes and thus and thus and all these type of things. So one thing I will tell you is this, that what the Salafis say, they say three talaqs is one and so forth. That is rejected in Islam. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif also tells us three talaqs are three. Remember that. And that is the verdict according to Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis. Today in South Africa, you will find some organizations. I know in Cape Town and here also some places, you will find some people will tell you, no, it's three is one. We reject it totally. Three is three. Your marriage is finished. You must go your way and he must go his way. You can't be living in the same house, nothing of that sort together.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see there's a listener says, Mufti Sahib, a Nat singer has mashallah voice. Can we listen to him? With a good intention, Ustad.
All haram that. For you ladies to listen to a person who hands, you must remember good voice and all that. So it's not any lesson for you. You're just going to fall in love with his voice and so forth and so on. So that is not permissible. Remember that. Therefore, Quran Sharif teaches us, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضْ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. You ladies, even when you speak, you must not speak in a seductive manner, in an alluring manner, in a soft, soft tone, where people who got sickness in their heart, they got hypocrisy, then they will start thinking that you are available and so forth, Allah forbid. So you cheapen yourself. So similarly, that when you woman, now you fall in love with somebody's voice and so forth, then remember, it's not permissible that you keep on listening. And this is not Quran also. This is not in something. So in cases like that, it's not permissible.
A sister wants to know, Ustaz, the Rivet sister from Escort, is there any solution or any way how we can donate ourselves, of course, to the sisters in India, Ustaz?
So you must remember that there are so many organizations collecting. So Almighty Allah alone knows who's authentic, who's not authentic. So my advice, people ask me, I say contact the Majlisul Ulama in PE, and I know they are running madrasas and all these type of things in various parts of the world. So inshallah, that's a very, very good cause, and inshallah, you can give them zakat, lillah, whatever you want to. Other organizations, remember, I have a lot of doubt, and sometimes they will use the money for their air tickets, sometimes they will pocket the money, 15%, 20%. So therefore, I don't have much confidence in them.
Listener wants to remain anonymous. He says, Mufti Saab, I married a lady against my parents' wish. And was it a good thing or bad, Mufti Saab? Because now I'm back with my parents and should have listened to them in the first place. Anonymous Ustad.
So you asked the question and you answered it yourself. So when you don't listen to your parents, then you got married and things turned out sour. I don't know whether you gave a divorce or not, but you say you're back with your parents and now you are regretting and so forth. So my advice to you will be, if you have children from her, one child or children, then you must go back to your wife. Remember that. وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Reconciliation is the best. Because remember, now you can't go destroy the child's life. You made a mistake. Ask Almighty Allah for forgiveness. Ask your parents for forgiveness. But if there's a child, children involved, then go and reconcile with her. And inshallah, if you are sincere, then things will come right.
Mufti Saab, my mother-in-law tells me how to serve my husband, but she doesn't tell her own daughter who left her husband's hometown for the modern life. Anonymous Ustad.
So you must remember, in most cases, we don't say all, but the mother-in-law will have different laws for her own daughter and different laws for the daughter-in-law, which is not right, obviously. And then the daughter-in-law also, her attitude towards her own mother is different, and her attitude towards her mother-in-law is different. So this is not a big issue. You must discuss it with your husband and tell your husband he must speak to his mother. Otherwise, you and your mother-in-law, even in Ramadan, you will have big, big arguments and so forth. Rather, just keep quiet and make dua, but speak to your husband to speak to his mother.
Sister says that this is affecting our Ramadan, the Honorable Mufti Saab, where I have a hot-tempered husband. He does not allow anybody to look at me, even though I'm in full parda. When we go to shops and he sees somebody staring at me, he goes and bashes them up. How do you control his temperament, Ustaz? Anonymous sister.
Totally wrong. You must remember, one day when he goes and he meets the wrong person, then that wrong person will panel beat him up properly. Then he will learn his lesson. So what he's doing Islamically is totally haram and so forth. If you know he's going to embarrass you like that and so forth, tell him there's no need for you to go for shopping. Here's the list here. He must go and buy everything. Why must you cause all so many problems for him or for you and for somebody else? Somebody can be looking at something else and he assumes they're looking at you, and then he comes and then a big argument, and then there might be physical fighting. So all this is haram and uncalled for.
Anonymous says that if I stay at home whole day, Ustad, and when hubby comes home, he's always on his phone and hardly speaks to us. So I tried speaking so many times, but it will stop, Mufti Sahab, but for 1 week, and then back to square one. I don't know what to do anymore. Ustad.
Remember, in a case like this, that you must start ta'aleem in your house. Take Riyadu Salihin, take the works, the fazail works. But Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, Sheikhul Hadith, Nawar Allahu Marqadahu, and start ta'aleem, start today. Remember that. So tonight will be Wednesday. Very good to start something on a Wednesday. So after Maghrib or after Taraweeh, after before sleeping, and 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But consistency is the key. So do it every day, and inshallah you will see some nur, some barakat, some khairat, so khairat and goodness will come inshallah in that household and in the house. So what has happened is we got the TV, we got the phones, we got the internet, we got 101 haram things there. So people get so engrossed in it, so they got no time for their wives or children. So all that obviously will be haram when we use all these things for haram purposes.
I see the brother is in his early 30s, Ustad. He has fallen in love with a girl, and of course they want to get married, and everything is gone through. But the problem is the brother says, Ustad, that the girl is very, very extra multi-rich, and he's not rich, Ustad. But now the father says that I only want his daughter for the money. Can maybe Mufti Sahab perhaps speak to him, Ustad? Can I come over, Ustad?
No, you can't come over here, and what he's saying is right. So you must remember that he's not happy about it. So if the girl's father is not happy, so you can't marry her. In Islam, we have something called kuf. Kuf means you must be compatible to one another. She is used to a 5-star lifestyle, and now you can't provide her that. So you must remember, and her father is worried about that. She's looking at you, just your jamal, your handsomeness or whatever, but the father is looking at for now and the future, what will happen after 2 years, 5 years, when you have 2-3 children. You will not be able to, you know, support them. Maybe Allah alone knows. Then he has to support his daughter and his grandchildren and you also. So therefore the father's objections are valid. So my advice to you, that forget her, and you must remember, if that is your intention, I'm using the word, the conditional clause, if, then remember, if the maal and the wealth is the main criteria, for innama adallahu Allah, then Allah will disgrace you. The hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. So therefore, when the father of the lady is not happy, you can't marry her. So just forget her and go and look for someone else. That is my sincere advice to you.
I see the brother says he's working as well, Ustad.
So working, but now, if your wages is 10,000, 20,000, 25,000, and she's used to a lifestyle of 100,000, you understood? So how are you going to sustain her? And what will happen when the children come? And once you have argument, she will throw everything back in your face. It's my house, it's my car, it's my this, my that. So what good is there in such marriage, even if a father is not happy about it? That makes it worse. La nikaha illa bi waliyin. You can't marry a girl when there's no consent from a father. So that is what the hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood. So that is what Islam teaches us.
I see there's a brother from Durban, KZN. He says, my grandfather always taught me. He says that you must always marry a rich girl. Then at least in life you won't suffer or start. Anonymously.
So remember that. So your grandfather gave you wrong advice. So in Islam we say you must marry a pious lady. The lady must marry a pious person, not rich. How many people got rich? It brought bigger problems for them. So how many examples we know? So total wrong advice that from an Islamic perspective, totally incorrect.
Ustad, how soon after the time of Zawal can we perform Dhuhr Salah, Ustad?
So for example, today we say 12:05, 12:06 here by us is Istiwa. Our people use the term Zawal, but they mean Istiwa. Istiwa means when the sun is at the zenith. So thereafter, wait 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then you can read. For example, 10 past you read, quarter past you read. So it's fine, there's no problem then.
My husband issued me one talaqul ba'in. I sat in Eid for 3 months. He now states that our marriage is over, as the Maulanas at the Jamiat have advised him that this one talaq is sufficient to break our marriage completely. So Mufti Saab, is this correct, Mufti Saab, or can we still get back together with a new nikah, as just one talaqul ba'in was given? Anonymous Ustad.
If both of you agree and you want to get back together, then you can make a new nikah, but you must be happy, he must be happy. Your father and them, the girl's father and them parents must be happy. And then you get married. If this is the first talaq, then he, this husband of yours, there's still 2 talaqs left for the future. So remember, you can marry. There's no such thing you can't marry, because it's one talaq a buy-in. But all parties must be happy. And thereafter, you would have only 2 talaqs left.
Somebody says here that, is it okay to heat, H-E-A-T, heat my helpless food in my microwave, Ustad, in the oven? She's not Muslim, Ustad.
No, it's not permissible. She brings, you must remember, haram things and bring it in your microwave, in your stove, in your this. So give them, if it is your maid or whatever, so give them their own stove and everything, and they can use it, their own microwave and what have you. Because like this, contamination will take place. You don't know that she's a non-Muslim. She will bring pork, she will bring haram things and all that. So how can you allow that? That definitely is not permissible.
The brother says here, but Mufti Saab, the hadith says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said it's a very, very great sawab to marry a widow. But Mufti Saab, you stopping the brother in Pretoria, the brothers in Pretoria, from going to Palestine and marrying those widows there out there, Ustad.
So remember, before you reach Palestine, your wuzu will break already, by. So you all think you can just walk and take a walk and go and get married and come back and all that. So you must remember, the Palestinian women, the Palestinian children have to stay there. So if everybody starts moving out from there, then who will be there? So you must remember, that is why there is so much reward for them. You call them al-murabitin. They are the people who are staying there, making all the sacrifices and so forth. And you are just looking at their beauty and so forth. You're not going to do justice and so forth. So how many Muslim husbands do justice today? Put 100 Muslim husbands who got 2, 3, 4 wives and see, you'll find 10% doing justice, 80-90% not doing justice. Quran says, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. When you fear you can't do justice, then you just stick with one wife. So that is our advice direct from the Quran.
I see the brother says, but move to Saab, of course, if I marry her, can I take her every once, twice, thrice a year to her house, to Palestine, Ustad?
So you think it's so easy, you can just go there and all these kind of things. The jutlas will block you whenever they feel like. So everything is there. So it's not easy, brother. So just forget all that. So yeah, look after your one wife first properly.
I'm a school teacher in a public school, dear Mufti Saab, and my husband feels threatened by the boys I teach. And how and when will he grow up, Mufti Saab? They're only between 6 to 10 years old. I mean, come on, dear Mufti Saab, Ustad.
So I'm not sure what's really happening there. So what do you mean? You are teaching in a primary school or in a Muslim school or whatever, and you are teaching children who are 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. So first of all, whichever school you are teaching, the secondary, the first issue will be this. In Islam, when you get married, whose responsibility is it to maintain you, sustain you? Is the husband's responsibility. In Islam, the wife don't have to work. You must remember that. And if she works and all that, then the husband has to give permission. And the place she works, it must be permissible and so forth. So he is right and wrong. Why is wrong? Why did he give you permission to work in the first place? So now all these problems come. And that's why he is wrong. And is right if now he realizes the harm it can cause to the marriage in time, because you won't be contact only with the small, the young students. There will be other teachers there. There will be other men there and so forth. Look at the holistic picture. Don't look at it like that. So you are the ma'am. But be honest, in that place there, are the male teachers or not? Then do you have staff meetings or not? So a lot of issues come about. So remember, the first mistake he, your husband, made is, why did he allow you to go and teach from day one after he got married to you? You should be at home, and you can tell the students, the girl students come there. You will teach them, or you will teach them, you must remember. Remember, extra tuition and so forth. And then you can get an income and he will be happy about that. So that's fine. But daily you have to go, and then there's meetings and this and all that. So obviously all that is not right.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see there's a sister listening to Mufti Saab from her office. She's an accountant. And she says that, but didn't Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Deen Islam is easy and beautiful and simple. But Mufti Saab, why are you so strict when it comes to Deen? Sometimes I feel you chase people away. An accountant sister, anonymous ustad.
You see, people like to use things to suit their desires and so forth. So because you are working outside and so forth. So now you have an accountant, you have to dress in a certain manner, you have to interact with the man, and the man interact with you. Which Islam allows all that, I'm asking you? So there's nothing that we don't make from our own side. All this is in the Quran. All this is in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So we don't bring deen from our side. So alhamdulillah, so many non-Muslims have embraced Islam because they know what is true Islam. But you, the Muslim, you look for loopholes. You want Islam to suit your whims and fancies and desires. That is not Islam. Islam means we have to submit and surrender to the laws of Almighty Allah in the Quran Sharif. We have to submit and surrender to the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. That's why you got the wrong end of the miswak and the stick. No, deen is easy. So this is halal, this is halal, this is halal. So that's why you got so many people today who are scholars for dollars, and they've destroyed the whole deen. For them, the Shia as a Muslim, for them you must remember to go to church with a non-Muslim is permissible. For them to sell the deen is permissible. They say Islam is easy. So that is why we find all this corruption going on. So our deen, we have to fit into it and not let the deen fit into our worms, fancies and desires like you are suggesting now. Totally rejected, that is.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Listen to this one, Ustad. The brother says, I was waiting for Mufti Saab to speak about this. Two wives. I have two wives and I lost my job 7 months ago. Now I can't treat both of them equally. Should I divorce one of them? What is my way forward? I am 68 years old and hard to find another job at my age. Ustad, please help me.
So you must remember why you want to divorce both of them and so, or one of them and so forth. So you are 68 years old. I don't know when you took the second wife, when you were 30 years old or when you were 60 years old. So now, Whenever calamities come, so you must look at yourself. Don't make them the problem. Ask yourself, are you not the problem? So when you got married, so you knew that you would have. Time will come, you might fall sick. Time will come, you might retire. Time will come, you might lose your job. So many things can happen and so forth. So where's your savings? Where's your family? And all these type of things. So I would not advise you to divorce them. And especially if you got children from both of them, then it's not a right thing for you. Now you want your children to be brought up by a single parent. So you should think of all these type of issues.
Somebody says, of course, Mufti Sahib, we all are concerned, very concerned about the Ukraine war. So what about the wars happening in our own houses, etc.? Stop abuse by us before we rave about another country. You start anonymous.
So 100% you must remember that. Therefore, I told you that in Islam, we ourselves must look within our homes. How are the husbands treating their wives? How are the parents treating their children? How are we treating our family members? 101 issues like that. But that does not mean we take the eye of the bigger picture. You must know what is happening there in Ukraine. 90%, 80% of the Muslims don't even know what is happening. So you must remember that. The Jutlas, the Jews, wanted to build another Israel. And they know when their time is up in occupied Palestine, then they will have a safe haven. And Ukraine is filled with minerals and so forth. So again, that will become a haven for them there in the heart of Europe and so forth. So Putin has come now, and he is the new Hitler, and we support him in this case here. That anybody who gives America, who gives NATO, who gives the Israelis a bloody nose and defeats them, so we support him. So we don't make no apology for that. They all are haramis, but in this case, this harami Putin is putting them in the right place.
There's a listener, anonymous, says that a mufti in Lodium in taking loans, Ustad, bad loans, but not paying back. When we ask him, he takes it personally, Ustad, anonymous.
So why you give him the loan? If you know that certain person got a bad reputation, so why? So one, whether you speak in truth or not, we don't know who the person is. And remember that you shouldn't have mentioned the name also. But anyway, you must remember that. So you said that this person, yeah, he's taking loans and so forth and so on. So now the question arises, then isn't it foolish on your part that you still go give him a loan? So I mean, both ways it works, you know. So if he's doing wrong, then you must expose him if you got the proof. If you don't have the proof and you still give him loans, then it's your foolishness also. So both ways it works, you must remember.
I see Broncos Sprite. He says, tell Muftis up, lockdown brought families together. Now that fuel is gone so high, there is no need to have lockdown because husbands now are forced to stay home and burn fuel wisely. Anonymous will start.
Wow, but they will start going with the scooter and the motorbike. I already see one imam. I asked him, Imam Sab, kya hua? He said, no, petrol bahut mehenga hai. So he comes to the masjid with the scooter, with the motorbike nowadays. So yes, everything got a test, you know. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes negative, all these type of things.
Somebody says here, move this up. I have a spare wheel and another. How do I hide this from my wife and the others Islamically? I would like to remain anonymous, Ustad.
So you must remember that you got the spare wheel, you got married to her secretly, and you're asking me what is the Islamic solution. The Islamic solution is you must get 100 lashes. You must remember that. That you must be punished for doing all this unda danda. First, you kept her as a girlfriend, and then maybe you feared little bit and now you got married to her secretly. And now you're asking, how can you justify this? How can you ever justify haram things you'll do? So you must remember, tomorrow your daughter, somebody gets married to her discreetly, secretly, your daughter, your sister. You all know nothing about it. You, the father, you, the family, you don't know. Be honest what you will do when you find out. You will will want to beat him up, assault him, but you trying to justify the same thing when you doing it to somebody else's daughter, when you doing it to somebody else's sister. So think properly. Remember, life, things go full circle. What you're doing today, one day will come back to haunt you as well. So think properly what you are doing. What you are asking for is totally haram.
My husband sleeps through Fajr, but wakes for Tahajjud. How do I convince him that Fajr is Fard? Ustad?
So that is absolute jahalat and ignorance. It's like a person making wudu and he don't read Salat. So he wake up for Tahajjud, but he don't read Fajr. So what's the point in all that? You must remember that Tahajjud is not accepted. So the shaitan is urinating in his ears. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Bala shaitanu fi udhunai. People who don't read Fajr Salat is a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy. I'm not speaking only of Ramadan. I'm speaking of Ramadan and beside Ramadan. So therefore, you need to explain to him, start ta'alim in your house, take the fazail works, and start reading Tagriyadu Salihin and start reading in your house.
I see the revered sister say salam to Mufti Saab. My husband likes perfume very much because he knows the ladies at his work likes it also when he smells nice. He says it is sunnah to wear perfume. A revered sister will start.
So if he wears the perfume that got alcohol and all that, since when that is sunnah? So remember, itar is sunnah. So not this perfume that now you put this one and half of them or most of them got alcohol in it. People today, to justify their wrong, they will tell you it's sunnah. So he knows what is his intention. So he's just trying to fool you and make you like, you know, that a person who's a naive person and a simple Simon. So obviously, if that is his intention, then it's not permissible.
Somebody says, Ustad, that my taste and my hobbies is very different. Yet I sacrifice what I like to please him, and he don't care a damn about me, dear Mufti Saab. Is it my right to only see to my husband? Do I have to cook separate meals, Ustad Anonymous?
So you must remember what your husband is doing is totally haram. Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, teaches us and commands every husband in the noble Quran, Surah 4, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You, the husband, you must treat your wives with love, with respect and justice. The whole world can say you good, but if your wife and children say you bad and evil, then by Almighty Allah and my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are considered a bad person. So you need to show your husband what Quran teaches. Surah 4, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19. So you don't have to go the extra mile when he's not appreciating it and all these type of things, because you need to tell him he is destroying the marriage, that he don't go out, no care attitude, going against the Quran, going against the example of Nabi alayhi salatu salam and so forth. Keep on making dua, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Allah Jalla wa Ala will make things easy, inshallah.
Well, it's exactly now 18 minutes to 12 o'clock. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +2 784-786-3132. Who said there's a few sisters they want to know that can they give the zakat to this organization? But it's a new organization, but only sisters organization. Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I would not advise them to give to these new organizations. Half of them don't even know the laws of zakat and so forth and so on. So my advice to you will be that Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Saab, Hafidhullah, and them are in the world and doing work for past 50 years. So give those type of organizations. They're running hundreds of madrasas in different cities, countries, continents. So rather give them that the women, they emotional, and what they will know about. Now you have to go and investigate this house, this house. How the woman going to investigate in other people's houses and that? Not permissible to give them.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that if 3 talaqs was given jokingly via message, Ustad, is it accepted?
100%. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Salathun jidduhunna jiddun wa hazluhunna jiddun. Open Mishkat Sharif, you will find the hadith. 3 things you say it seriously, it seriously. You say it jokingly, it will still have an impact and will be valid. One is nikah, marriage. One is talaq, and one is raj'ah. Raj'ah means you say your wife after 1 or 2 talaqs, you're taking her back and so forth. Then you say, no, you're joking. So you can't joke in these type of issues. If jokingly you gave your wife 3 talaq, all 3 talaqs are valid. And now finish, you can't be together as husband and wife. You can't be living in the same house. All that not permissible.
What is Mufti Sahab's right if a couple want to go and stay in Afghanistan, Ustad, because of the dini there, Ustad? Is it permissible? Can we go?
First of all, they don't have food and all that in some areas. You know the difficulty they are going through. You think to stay in Afghanistan and all that is easy. There you won't find internet and all these gadgets there and all that everywhere. So you must remember they have their own culture, they have their own system. I would not advise anybody to go and stay there. Yes, you want to go and visit there, you want to go and take zakat, you want to help them. All that very good. But to go stay there, very difficult. So remember, ask me, we stayed in Pakistan. Pakistan is much more facilities, all that they got compared to Afghanistan and so forth. And you know all the problems they are facing. So I would not remember. See, I teach you a lesson. You must remember Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said this. People think if you stay in Mecca or Medina or you stay in some place, you will become pious. إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَ لَا تُقَدِّسُ أَحَدًا. The holy lands will not make you pious. إِنَّمَا يُقَدِّسُهُ أَمَلُهُ. That your own actions make you pious. See, how many a person today in Mecca, Medina, the enemies of Islam, you must remember there's so many of them. So they hate Islam and they don't like it all. They will speak against Islam. Obviously we don't say all, but we'll say some. And how many a person who's far from there, but they are prepared to give their lives for Islam and prepared to defend Islam and so forth. So by Allah, don't think the place is going to make you. You yourself, make yourself with your own deeds and your own actions.
Somebody says, Ustad, Anonymous says, I want to know if you are traveling during the month of Ramadan, starting the fast in Gauteng, and at iftar time, you are in Durban. Which time must you follow for that, Ustad?
Wherever you are, you follow that time. If at sunset time you're in Durban, you follow Durban time. Sunset time you're in Cape Town, you follow Cape Town. You are in Hong Kong, you follow Hong Kong time. You are airborne, so remember, then you don't follow the time on the ground, you look outside the window and you are 100% sure that the sunset has taken place in that area where you are. Whilst you are airborne, then you break your fast. So that is how you work when you are traveling.
Ustad, how many times did our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform Hajj and Umrah, Ustad?
Remember, Hajj, Nabi alayhi salatu salam performed once only after it became compulsory, and Umrah 4 times. But the one was the Umrah that was aborted. So in the 6th year, that is known as Umrah of Hudaybiyah. They reached Hudaybiyah, nowadays called Shumaysiyah, but they couldn't go inside. But the Ihram was fastened for Umrah. 7th one, Umratul Qadha. 7th year, the Umratul Qadha. And 8th year, after Fateh Makkah and all that, the Umrah from Jirana. And then with the Hajj, the 4th one. So this is how you count for Umrahs. The best book on this topic, written in Arabic, by Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Zakariya Nawwar Allah Marqadahu. I have both copies. Excellent it is, masterpiece. Hajjatul Wida wa Umratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Arabic one, and the Urdu one translated by Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi Rahimahullah. So both are excellent. For those who know Arabic, get the Arabic. Those who know Urdu, get the Urdu one. You know both, mashallah, read both.
I see the brother in from Benoni says that Mufti Sahib, you claiming that MBS is a murtad, but if he goes and performs Umrah, is his Umrah valid, except or not? Allah is the best of judges. Ustad.
A person who builds sanamas in Medina Munawwara, a person who murders millions and thousands of people in Yemen, a person, you must remember, who has locked up, I don't know how many hundred ulama in Saudi Arabia, 100% murtad shaitan. And if you got doubt in that, then you also out of the fold of Islam.
Ya Allah. 084-786-3132. Somebody says here, respected Mufti Saab, issued with one talaq and iddah done. My husband says that I should move on with my life as he has been advised that our marriage is over. With just the one talaq, am I allowed to remarry someone else, or does he have to issue all three talaqs?
Remember that this is the story. Your husband gave you one talaq, and then the iddat was finished, and now you all are total strangers to one another, and he's telling you, you must carry on with your life, so there's no need for second talaq, third talaq, nothing like that. Now you want to marry somebody else. So totally permissible. You must remember that. So in a case like this, so Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala made it easy for you. He gave you one talaq, the iddat finished, you ajnabiya, you stranger to him, he's ajnabi to you. And you must remember in a case like that, that you want to settle down with somebody else, totally permissible. And that brother from Benoni or wherever who was asking of MBS, Allah just put the thought in my mind now. There were people who were reading Salat with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. There were people who were there fasting with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala says, Innal munafiqina fi darkil asfali minan nar. They will go to the lowest, lowest layer of Jahannam. Because they were not believers from the heart. People who built Sanama in Medina, people who called this worst type of people to come for swimming here, and so to come for music there, open beaches, bikini beaches, and all that in Jeddah, and say it's permissible. If the ulama speak against it, they lock them up. Be Muslim, 100% murtad and shaitan.
Ustad, somebody says here, ask Mufti Saab if it's true that Hilal sighting, Ustad.
So you must remember that I don't know what the question really is, but the sighting has to take place here in South Africa and other parts of the world on Sunday evening here by us, and the moon is 19 hours old. Saudi Arabia, you can take it from now. Monday is Eid, because Sunday will be 30th Psalm and fast. So Monday will be Eid, that you can take already. For us, if the moon is sighted, then Monday will be Eid. Moon is not sighted, then Tuesday will be Eid. It's very 50-50. Nobody can tell you when it will be. We have to wait for our moon samis. We have to wait for the people to see the moon. And if it's sighted, then well and good. Not sighted, then 30 Ramadhan will have, and Tuesday will be Eid, will fitter, inshallah.
Tis a listener says that I am a go-getter, Mufti Saab. You never know something till you try it. I want to invest my money in a super non-interest account. But my husband stops me, Mufti Saab. He says he gave me the money, but he still has control over it, and he won't allow. How can I convince him otherwise, Ustad?
If he gave you the money, he can't make all these conditions. You are, I give you something, and I tell you that no, you can only use this car or this clothing on a weekend or whatever like that. So all that conditions fall away, and you are the owner of it. So once he gave you the money, he told you it's your money, and remember, he wants to make conditions. So all that conditions fall away. So you don't have to listen to him in that regard there. If you feel you are investing in something which is halal, you want to buy gold coins, for example. I'm just giving example. Kruger coins, coins or whatever coins and so forth. So you don't need his permission. So it's your money, you do whatever you want to, provided that it is permissible. However, that is the fatwa. Yes, from taqwa point of view, you can make mashura and you discuss with him and that. But what he is saying, that he will not allow you that regarding that money, he got no right to say that Islamically. Because once you give a gift to a person, then you cannot dictate to that person, whether it's the husband and wife, or whether it's your neighbor or whoever, that how they must use it. You can't attach conditions to a gift, not permissible. The conditions are waived off, and you are the sole owner because he gave it to you.
Somebody says here, Ustad, Anonymous, they say they listen to Dear Mufti Sahab. He says here, Mufti Sahab, I spoke to such and such person. Of course, he is in a real mess. His father is so old and his mom passed away and he's the executor of the estate. And he's like, his father is full of crap, etc. Mufti Sahab, why don't I attach his house and sell it? Astaghfirullah, I'm shocked, Dear Mufti Sahab.
So I'm not sure what the real problem is here. You must remember that the best thing in these cases here, that if your mother passed away, your father is alone or whatever, and now if you sell the house or something, so where your father goes to, if you want to put your father in the street, then how can you be an executor? How can you be calling yourself a son and so forth when you are prepared to do these things? So my advice to you will be that go to, because I still don't understand what the real problem is. So you must go to your local ulama or your jamiats and whatever. There are certain issues, remember, that you have to go face to face, because you have to ask the person the history, the geography, so many questions you have to ask and so forth. And then you look at what are the best options and so forth. But one word of advice I will give you, if you want to do something and put your father out in the street, you yourself will go straight to Jahannam, and Allah will punish you in such a way in the world also and in the year after. That is totally haram and unacceptable.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says that my niece is the best nasheed artist. Why are we ladies not allowed to sell our recordings? We only do recordings and don't do live performances, Ustad.
Yeah, but then the men will buy your nasheeds and then they will fall in love with your voice. Then they will start saying messages to you and so forth. I gave you the verse just now. Open the 22nd Supara, 22nd Juz. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala telling the greatest ladies, the honorable wives of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَلَا تَخْضَعَنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. Don't go and speak in that manner where people start getting ideas. This is addressing the wives of Nabi Alayhi Salaam. That will never happen. So it is a lesson for the women, our daughters, our sisters. So therefore, for you to do that, what you are suggesting, totally unacceptable, and your income will be haram also.
0847863132. Somebody says here, Mufti Sahab, my 6 children later, and my husband decides to take me to paternity court. This is just not on. How can he ever doubt me when we 24 hours together, Ustad?
So you must remember that when you and your husband married for 15, 20 years, and now you got 6 children, so Shaitan got hold of him, and now he says no, he wants to find out if he is the father or not. All this is totally haram. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Al-waladu lil-firash. You must remember, all the children, the lineage will go to the father. He accepted them initially, but subsequently now the Shaitan got hold of him. He say he wants to do this test and this test. So all that is haram on his behalf. Tell him and some friend of his, oh, the Shaitan came to him and whispered all these waswasa, whisperings of Shaitan. So totally unacceptable Islamically. Last question.
Someone wants to know, where is Mufti Sahab going to perform Eid Salah, Ustad?
I will be in Johannesburg, then in the Crosby Masjid. Masjid, Masjid Farooq, inshallah. So you know that Masjid, so where Mona Harun and them are, inshallah. So I will be there for Eid Salat, whether Eid is on Monday or Tuesday, inshallahul Aziz.
Somebody says, Ustad, Majlis joins Wifaq on Moon Sighting. Ustad, is that true?
No, not true. You must remember that. So remember that first of all, we as part of Darul Iman, we are the Majlis, our Jamiat Ulama Khauteng, and remember our Markaz Sahaba, we accept sighting South Africa and Southern Africa. Wifaq don't accept that. You must remember that. They say only South Africa. So whoever is telling you that is not really speaking the truth. You must remember that. Okay, let me run through the programs. 12 o'clock news, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali. 12 to 1 will be Mona Ilyas Patel with advices. Then 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 105 to 130. Today we start Surah Jasiya, Alhamdulillah, verses 1 to verse 14, 130 to 2 Surah Hajj, verses 75 to 77. And then 2 to 230 Ramadan Q&A with Brother Yusuf Ali. 230 to 3 Current Affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 340 the repeat of this morning's Q&A. And thereafter the Zikr and so forth. 4 to 520 Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. And then Hafiz Hussain Wadi. And the night programs will continue as normal. Barakallahu fiqh. Tonight is the 25th night. Another big night, auspicious night. So make special dua for ourselves and our families and the Ummah at large, especially Majidul Aqsa, Palestine, in India, all the brothers, sisters there. Minimum, at least make dua for them. All may Allah accept our ibadat. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad. Of course, tomorrow morning, 3 to 6, with our program, Noor al-Suhoor, the Noor of Sehri. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.